Okay, today's daf is Kuf Chaf Dalet. We're going to start back in Kuf Chaf Chimel at the very bottom, Mativ Rabbi Yirmiyah, three lines from the bottom. But before that, I'm just going to review a few basics. So first of all, the Mishnah yesterday discussed about taking the hide off an animal. Again, just to clarify about the or, there's two types of dinim of or. One is when the or is attached to the meat, and then we needed the minimum, right? There was a debate about what the minimum shear for something to be called a shomer. There has to be a minimum amount of meat, whether it's a kiful or whether it's a kezayit of meat, in order for the skin to be a shomer for the meat. Yesterday's Mishnah was about when you start taking off the hide, at what point is it no longer, which part of it, and at what point is it no longer considered being a shomer. Once it's not a shomer, again, it depending on which type of ore, remember there were edible ores and not edible hides, but if it's an inedible hide, then the assumption is that once it's detached, or at least somewhat detached, right, exactly where we draw that line, then already we're going to say that has a din of hide, and since hide is inedible, it doesn't have... It doesn't carry tumah at all. If it's a shomer, remember that was the whole thing. It's mitameh, umitameh, and it's mitzareh for the shiur. Remember, it can't, if you just have a kezayit of ore, it's not going to be mitameh, but it can be mitzareh to a shiur of meat to be mitameh. Then they quoted a Mishnah at the bottom of Kuf Chaf Gimel Amud Aleph. A talit sheitchil balikorah, okay, if you have a talit that you start tearing, kevan shenikra ruba shuv eino chibur, utehova. Right, once you tear the majority of it, it's no longer viewed as attached and it becomes tahor. So then there were a bunch of hagbalot, limitations to this halacha of this talit. So the first was it's only if it's a tful yom, right? That was Rav Baravua, because he's not, right, there was this issue that if it's a tful yom, if he put it in the mikvah, then he obviously doesn't care so much about it, in which case, once it starts to tear, he's clearly going to throw it out. There was concern if you put something in a mikvah, maybe it'll ruin it, right? Sometimes you don't want to put things in the wash, only dry clean, like, maybe that's the issue. Okay, then there was a whole discussion about that, we're not going to get into it. The second hagbalah was Rav Huna, who said that it's only if you leave shaloshiyer bakedema aporet. It's only if it's torn, like think about it, you have a piece of cloth, a talit is basically a piece of cloth that rips, and then it has, if it has a minimum of a ma'aporet, meaning you can make a kerchief out of it, okay, then it's still tahor because it's still usable for something. This goes back to, we've learned this many times about DNA choma, when something's a small, you know, there's a minimum measurement, etc. But if you left a ma'aporet, then it's a chibur. Then came Rish Lakish, and he said, oh, by the way, this halacha is only a talit. That's cloth. But if it's ore, if it's made of hide, then, okay, then we saw that according to Rish Lakish, he says chalim, it can basically be fixed, okay? Even if it's torn, it's going to be fixed. Whereas if it's cloth, it won't be. Rabbi Yochanan disagreed with Rish Lakish and said, no, ore is like a talit, okay? It's the same thing. So then there were a slew of questions on Rish Lakish. So Mativ Rabbi Yirmiyah at the bottom of Kuf Chaf Gimel is the last question on Rish Lakish. I think it's the last.
You said that leather can be reconnected?
Leather can be reconnected. That if it's leather, then it'll be reconnected. Whereas if it's cloth, once it's torn rubo, it's useless even kedema aporet, right? Even if it's still the size of a kerchief.
If you sew it again today, yeah. If you sew it again, does it regain the tumor, or is it...
So once it's broken...
I mean, I understand that the clay charis, once you break it, it's broken, but it's fine, you can sew.
Right. So, what if you then sewed it? The question is, would the tumah... The issue here is like this. Once you sew it, then you could say it can become tameh again. But
does it
if there was
tumah
in it, then the tumah leaves it. Okay, that's what I think the difference is. That if it was tameh already, then the tumah leaves it. And once, let's say, you sew it back together, then it can become tameh again.
But it's not automatically
tameh because you already tore it. That's how I understand it. If I'm correct, you know, if I understood it right. So one second. I wrote notes on this last night. 1 minute. Right. With the talit, that's the whole thing. If it was nitma'ah, exactly that. It is that if now it became tameh, even the ore, if you have a minimum, it's torn, but it still has even the talit still has, if remember the minimum for, if you remember this, for something to become tameh is 3x3 etzba'ot. So now this talit that's korach clearly has 3x3 etzba'ot. So once you tear a rove, the tum is gone. But if now that torn piece, someone touches it, they can make a tameh again, because it still has enough to become tameh. Okay? By the way, it's the same with a kli cheres. If you have a kli cheres that breaks, so the tumah's out of it, but if there's a shard that's big enough to become tameh, it can become tameh again. It's the same thing. Okay? So now, Matav Rabbi Yirmiyah. Tanur shenitma. Now, a tanur was this, was made of cheres, right?
Yeah,
it was made of cheres, and it got narrower at the top, and they would make their bread in it. That would kind of keep the heat in. A tanur shenitma ketzab mitaharinoto. So how do you, again, klei cheres, you have to break it, right? Here we're going to make the comparison. Cholko l'shlosha, there's a mishnah in Kalim, by the way. You split it, break it into three pieces. The concern is if you split it into two, one might be bigger, you know, and kind of rove. So once you split it into three kind of equal parts, right, they don't mean yeah, more than half on one side and then two smaller pieces, but kind of in three reasonably equal parts. Vigorera tatfila. One other thing about this was that they would cover it in teat, what's the...
Plaster it.
They would plaster it in order to keep the heat in. So, in order to, again, kind of make this no longer a kli, you have to take off all the plaster. Ad shiyehe ba'aretz. Okay, now, what they would do is they would kind of have this kli, they would plaster it, and then they would kind of stick it into the ground. So it seems like until you would get... There's a bit of a debate what this means, ad shiyehe ba'aretz, but you would kind of take... Let's assume it means one option, which is you take the plaster off all the way until you get to the part that's attached to the ground. You have to really take it off almost completely. Rabbi Meir Omer, Einot Tzarich Lo Ligura Tatfela, Velo Ad Shiyehe Ba'aretz. Okay, you don't have to take off the tefillah, and you don't have to do it until you get to the aretz. That's why this is a weak interpretation, because if it means taking off the plaster until it gets to the aretz, then you wouldn't need to say ad shiyagi ala aretz. So maybe it's something else, but we'll leave that aside. Okay, so you don't need to take that off. Ela mema'atomi bifni me'arba tfachim. You just have to make sure that the height of it is no longer four tfachim high. If it's no longer four tfachim high, that's already not considered a kli. Okay? Right. Four tfachim is pretty low, but again, you know, right, but that's what he's saying. It's a very low, you know, once it's that low, it's not usable. So now, ki memaila me'arba'at tfachim, I'm just adding the word tfachim here, when you lower it to four tfachim, miyu tahor. Right? So now it's that, right? So when you get it to four, it will be tahor. Amai. Lema ha'chalim v'kai. If it still has the plaster, then the assumption is it's like the ore, which is easier to put back together. Okay? In which case, it seems like this doesn't go like what we just said, like Rish Lakish. So, Amar le Rava, ve'em ha'mij rabbanan, gorer tatfila ad shehe ba'aretz. So you could just simply say that he holds like Rabbanan. Okay? In other words, so what if he doesn't match Rabbi Meir's opinion? He could still be holding like Rabbanan's opinion, who said that you have to take off the tefillah, and that's exactly why. Gorerat ha-tefillah ad right, and therefore you have to take off the tefillah ad shehe ba'aretz. So therefore, you can't ask Amrish Lakish from Rabbi Meir's opinion, you can just say he very simply holds like Rabbanan. Ela amarava hachi kamar. But Rava said, this is how you should read it. Tanur shenitma, and this is the, 1 second, Ela amarava hachi kamar, he means to say here, 1 second, right, but now Rava says you can even explain Rabbi Meir according to Rish Lakish. Okay, now he's going to explain. Tanur shenitma ketzab metaharin oto, Divrei HaKol Chulko L'Shlosha V'Gorera Tatfila Ad Shehe Ba'aretz. You could say that it reads like this. Tanur Shenitma, how do you create, right, how do you make a tahor? So everyone agrees, okay, now we're going to say that Rabbi Meir would also agree the Chulko L'Shlosha, okay, even though we didn't say so. V'Gorera Tatfila Ad Shehe Ba'aretz. Everyone agrees when we want to be mitaher, that in other words, we misunderstood what the topic of the mission is. We thought it meant once it's tameh, right? How do you get the tumah off of it? By breaking it. Now, everyone agrees, if you want to be matei or a kli that's already tameh, you have to split it up into three. and take off the tefila ad shehe ba'aretz, and that's because otherwise it can mend itself easily, or you can mend it easily. But if you don't want it to ever become tamei, is you want to make sure, forget about, right, once it's tamei, so you just have to break it. Right? You have to break it. In order to break it, it has to be, not you just have to break it, I said it wrong. You really have to break it, right? It has to be broken and take off the tefillah. But if you want to make sure it doesn't contract tumah, ketzaru oseh, that's Tanakama. Rabbi Meir Omeri, no tzarich lo legor tatfela velo ad shei ba'aretz ela mema'atomi bifnim arba'at tfachim. All you have to do is make sure it's not four tfachim in height. If it's not four tfachim in height, it can't become tameh.
It also can't be used as an oven.
You can say that, but okay. Right. So, well, that's the whole, the truth is the first Mishnah in that parak in Kalin talks about in order for something to become a Kli, right, to be a Kli, to be Mekabel Tum, it has to be four Tfachim minimum. So that's what they're saying, that make sure it's not four Tfachim, forget about it, it can be plastered, that's irrelevant, right? According to Tanakama, no, you have to also take off the plaster and all that, okay, and split it up and break it. Right, four tefachim height could maybe be used for something, and therefore could contract tumah. But Rabbi Meir says no. Okay, in which case, again, this has nothing to do with Rish Lakish. Rish Lakish is talking about once something's tameh, how do you get it out of becoming tameh? But here, the machloka was about something else. Now we're going to talk more about this chokol shlosha. Amar mar chokol shlosha. Right, this is just going into depth into something we saw. Ureminu. But wait, we have a contradiction to this Mishnah from the first Mishnah in the Perek. Tanur tchilato arba'a. This is where we see it. Okay, that's the first Mishnah. It starts out being arba'a. Ushiarav arba'a. Okay, and it's shirayim, the parts that are left over in order, right, this means that if they're, if it was four, right, and then became tamei, you would need broken pieces in order to be, they'd have to be four in order to be, that they would still maintain their tumah status. Divrei Rabbi Meir. The Chachamim Omrim Bameh Dvarim Amurim. Chachamim really actually agree with this. They need to be minimum four. But Bameh Dvarim Amurim Bigadol. Aval Bekatan, that's only in a big oven. Aval Bekatan, which is interesting. What exactly would you say is a katan? So Rashi says, Sho'osim Tinokot. It's like for kids to play with. I don't know exactly what kind of small oven people are letting their kids play with, but okay, whatever that must be. Right, easy big oven. Aval b'katan tchilato kol shehu. Okay, then it can be any size, because a katan, right, it can be any size. Misha tigmar malachto, right, as long as it's finished. Shiarav birubo, and then the shirayim are the majority of whatever that mashahu was. So now they say, v'kama kol shehu, right? So now, first we have to explain what this means. What is kol shehu? In other words, it doesn't make sense. It's really kol shehu? Amrei de Rabbi Yanai, tefach. Shekein osim tanurim b'no tefach. Okay, they make these tanurim for kids to play with the size of a tefach. So now, what does it sound like? Tama de'ika shiarav arba'a hale. Okay, so now back to the question. What's the question now? It sounds like the reason for chachamim, for tanur gadol, what did it say? Shiarav arba'a. And chachamim agreed with that, right? So now it sounds like tamadika shiarav arba'a. Haleka shiarav arba'a would be tahor. But that's not what they said in the Mishnah here. In the Mishnah they said just split it into three pieces. They didn't say anything about the four tefachim. So amre hatam ditzalke mitzalek. Now they distinguish between the Mishnayot. They say, when it says you have to split it into three, even if it has right, the four not being a relevant issue, that's if you break it vertically, and they can't stand on their own. They can't stand on their own, then they're already not worth anything. But if you're tzalke mitzalik, if you do it horizontally, then the piece can stand on its own, right? The pieces can basically stand on their own. Then you need, if they need to go under that minimum height of four. So basically, they say these two Mishnayot are talking about two different types of breaks. Amar Mar, the next part. Shiarav birubo. Now we're going back to this rove of the tenor of the tinokot. So now you have a tefach, and now the shiraim are Birubo, right? That means if it's still going to have rov, then it would... right, one second. The Shvarim... Right, they're not going to be tahor unless you have less than rov, right? So you're going to need less than rov of a tefach. So now they say rubo de tefach lemai. So that means that what? If you have rov of a tefach left, then the kli is still a kli. So they say, what on earth could you use rov of a tefach for? That's nothing. Forget it. You were complaining. Four tefachim is nothing. This is less than a tefach. How could it, right? So a rov of a tefach, according to this, is still a kli. How could it be a kli? What's a rov you being used for? Lamai have, amar abaye, shiarei gadol birubo. He says, oh, wait. It wasn't that this, when it says shiarav birubo, they were going back to the first case. The shiraim of the gadol of birubo. So now they say, how could he possibly be saying it's shiraim birubo? What did it say in the first case of the Mishnah? Shiarav ba'arba'a, not birubo. V'hamre rabbanan, arba'a. So in other words, what do we have here? You have to just look at the Mishnah again. The Mishnah says, Tanur tchilato arba'a v'shiarav arba'a divrei Rabbi Meir. Chachamim omrim, we agree with you basically, but b'mei divrei omrim, b'gadol. Aval b'katan, but if it's a katan, then tchilato kol shehu. And Mishatigmar Malachto, Shiarav Birubo. But then, right, I'm not sure if the words I'm reading right, that they go with the Mimitano Gadol, Mazano Katan. No, sorry, I did read it. The first time I read it, right? The last time, which was Vikatan Tchilato Kol Shu Mishatigmar Malachto, as long as it's a finished Kli, it's Bekol Shehu. And then it says Shiarav Birubo. Now we assume Shiarav Birubo meant on the Katan. But now they're coming, Chachamim are saying, wait, but we disagree with you about the Arba'ah. How could they say we disagree with you about the Arba'ah? They already said we agree with you about the Arba'ah. So now, what's exactly going on? In other words, in this sense, they agree with him about the Arba'ah, but then they say, but Shiarab Birubo. So how do we understand this? Lo kasha ha b'tanur bat tish'a, ha b'tanur bat shiv'a. B'tanur bat shiv'a, that's seven tefachim high. Then arba, right? Then we have arba, and that's rubo. But once you get to nine, come chachamim, and they say, we disagree with you. We don't think four. We think you need rov. In other words, if it still has, it could be more than right. How would it be? It would be you would if you had. Right, you would need, if it had rov, if it had more than four, it still wouldn't be ra'oi if you have, right. They would say, if you had more than four, but it wasn't rov.
Why did they say rov? Why did they say four?
Right. I guess they said, we agree with you if it's a seven tefachim high thing, but we disagree with you when it comes to...
Seven tefachim is like this.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's pretty low. No, but think about it. You can put a piece of bread in the sun and cook it in it.
Right,
imagine those druzy pizza, those kind of right. Exactly. You could have a low one. Okay. That was all. Okay, so now how do we start today? We started with this Mishnah about the Talit. I said this first Hagbalah of Rav Ravua, which we're not talking about today. We had a second Hagbalah of Rav Huna, who said it's only Shi'er Bakadei Ma'aporet. And then we had a third Hagbalah, which is Machloket Rish Lakish, whether we say it's just a Talit and not or would be separate because it's chalim, right? It can easily be mended. Versus Rabbi Yochanan, who said, no, or en talit. Now we're going to have a lishna achrina of Rav Huna and Rish Lakish and Rabbi Yochanan here. Lishna achrina. Amrei la, some people say it goes like this. Amar Rav Huna mishum Rabbi Yishmael b'Rabbi Yossi, v'afilu shi'er ba kedema poret. Okay, the first lashon was lo shi'er ba, right? Lo shanuela, shelo shi'er ba kedema. But here he says, even if shi'er b'kedema poret, a talit shenikra'a is not going to have tumah anymore. And then, instead of this being a separate thing that Rish Lakish says, Rish Lakish comments on what he says. He said, even if you have kedema poret, it's going to be good. Right? For the shi'er b'kedema poret, it's still going to be, one second, let me get it right, it's still going to not be tumah anymore, right? Because we don't care, you broke it, it's torn. Amarish Lakish lo shanu ela talit. That's only true for a talit. Aval or chashiv. But if you have a kadema, a poret of or left, that's already significant. So there, Rav Huna and Rish Lakish are intertwined. They're not separate statements, but they're connected. The Rish Lakish's statement is not about the talit in general. It's about specifically the shear of a ma poret. Okay? So again, According to Rav Huna, if shi'er ba'kadema aporet, that's not chashuv, your talit is basically torn, and therefore you that got rid of the tumah. And Rish Lakish says, no, if it comes to or, that size of a maporet is important, okay? And therefore, even if it's a torn or, it's still going to be important. Rabbi Yochanan amar afilu or nami lo chashuv, we don't care if it's a maporet of or, it's still not important, it's torn. So, etive Rabbi Yochanan l'Rish Lakish. So now, according to this version, Rabbi Yochanan brings a different Mishnah on Rish Lakish, and he brings a Mishnah in Kalim from a different parak. Okay, this was all parak He. Now we jump to parak Kavvav. Or Tame Midras. If you have an or that's Tame Midras, okay, remember what Midras is? A Zav sits on something. So you have a piece of or that the Zav sat on. How did the Tuma leave that or? Chishev alav l'ritzu'av sandalim. Let's say he decides to use it for his shoe. Now that's no longer something to use for sitting on. So now, but chashiva is not enough. What do you have to do? You have to do an actual act. So what kind of act is going to basically be enough to get rid of the tuma? Kevan shenatambo ismal, if you took the scalpel and started cutting it, tahor. Already it becomes tahor as soon as you start cutting it for your sandal. Divrei Rabbi Yehuda. The chachamim omrim, ad shiyamitenu mechamisha tfachim. It's not enough to start cutting it. You actually have to have it smaller than 5 by 5 tfachim. Now the assumption is 5 by 5 tfachim is still bigger than a ma'aporet. Okay? So once it's 5 by 5, it's no longer tame. Now what did... Yeah.
Logistical question, the strap is going to be narrower and much, much longer. So how
yeah, but I guess you just start cutting a big piece, right? And then you're going to cut it into strips. I assume, you know... Yeah, I mean, I agree. It is a different shape. But here I think they mean 5 by 5, and then they're going to cut it from there into strips. But as soon as you have a piece,
together,
you know.
Sandal straps are quite long.
Right, right. Yeah, so I don't know exactly. So what do they say? So kima mai mia tahor, right? But it sounds like amai lema chashuv, right? So if once, right, they say as soon as you get it to this size, even chachamim agree that it's still going to be tahor. But why? Wouldn't you say this is still chashiv? It could be a ma'aporet. So, and remember, that was what Rish Lakish said. Ma'aporet in or is going to be chashuv. So, hachi b'mayaskinan dekabai leila moshav zav. And they're talking about that. One second. Let me just get this clear. Rish Lakish says or, right, if shir ma'aporet, it's still going to be tameh. So here we're going to say that in that case, it was something that the Zav used. He carried it around with him to basically make sure that wherever he went wasn't Tameh. Like he would kind of, it was like a little thing that he would sit on so that it wouldn't make anything else Tameh. And therefore, since it was specifically designated for that purpose, as soon as he cut it less than 5 by 5, it was no longer useful for this to protect from Tumat Midras, right? And originally he used it for Tahor purposes, right? To kind of protect Tumah from getting around, right? So he would make sure he didn't sit on something that was Tameh and become Tameh and all that. Since that was its use, as soon as you made it smaller, it's no longer Tameh. But if it was just a regular piece of ore, that could be used for all sorts of things. So this is all about designating. If this has a very designated purpose, I was thinking about those people who walk around carrying chairs with them, you know, when you go to a museum, they carry those mini stools, like he carries this thing to kind of sit on all the time. So that stool, if you kind of cut up the piece of wood, that piece of wood wouldn't be worth anything anymore because you used it as your stool. So here also, this ore is usable for nothing. And yes, in theory, it's usable for something, but since you designated it for that, once you cut it smaller than that, and you're about to designate it for your sandal, as soon as you cut it smaller, it's clear you're not using it for that anymore, and the tumah leaves it. But a regular, like let's say something you were wearing of ore, like the talit comparison in ore, would be different. There you would need, if it was still ra'oy from a poret for a kerchief, then it could be used for a kerchief. This thing, you're not going to go from taking it as something you sit on, cutting it up for your sandal, and it's going to end up being used as a kerchief. Right? The point is, this was one thing, you're designated for something else. Already, once it's no longer that size, we're going to assume it's going for this. But if it's a regular thing of or, maybe you would use it for a kerchief, and then it would still be tameh, according to Rish Lakish. So therefore, this doesn't go against. Okay, so again, we had this Mishnah about the talit. We had 3 limitations on it, or, according to the second version, only 2 limitations, right? One was rubber Avua still stands, but Rav Huna and then Rish Lakish was within Rav Huna rather than them being separate ones. Okay, new Mishnah. Or sheyesh alav kezayat basar. Okay, we're back to or being used as a shomer, midin shomer. It's got kezayat basar on it. Basar hanogea bitziv hayotze mimenu. If you have some strips, little strips of meat coming out of it. Ubisa'arasha kenegdo, or a hair that's on the skin. Tameh, okay, it's going to be tameh. Hayu'alav, we had this whole thing about the sa'ara, is it a sa'ara ben a sa'arot, and all that. Okay, I'm not going to deal with that right now. Hayu'alav kishne chatzei zeitim. Now we get to this machlok of Rabbi Shmuel, Rabbi Kiva, we also saw. If there's, on this piece of skin, there's two separate pieces of meat, and each one is not enough of a kezayit on its own. Mitame b'masa v'lo b'maga. Devar Rabbi Yishmael. Rabbi Yishmael says if you carry them on a tray or something like that, then they're going to be mitame because altogether you're carrying a kezayit. But not b'maga because each time you're only touching half a kezayit, right? Or the or that is attached to only half a kezayit. It's not considered, it's not going to work. Rabbi Akiva Omer lo b'maga v'lo b'masa, because what does he say? Remember, the or cancels the pieces of meat because they're not significant and it's not counted as a shomer anymore. If you stuck a toothpick in both of them together and then you move them, okay, hesed is like masa. Okay, masa is you're carrying them on a tray. Hesed is I push something which pushes them, which means I basically move them. If the two zeitim were together, then he would agree that they're tameh if they were, you know, joined together. Okay, now going back, why is it say it's tahor? Because the or cancels the meat. Amar Ula, Amar Rabbi Yochanan, this is going to sound a little familiar. Loshanu ela platito chaya. This is only, now what are we talking about? The first case in the Mishnah. Or sheyesh alav kezayit basar. Okay, if you're nogea, but see, but you're saying, basarash kenegdo tameh. Okay, meaning the or is a shomer. He says that's only if platito chaya. Aval, if a chaya came, bit off the skin with some of the meat, and then spit it out, okay, and now you have this piece of meat. Then it's not canceled, not bata, because you have a kezayit of meat on there. Aval platito sakin, but if the knife came and cut it off, another person came and cut it with a knife, then it's batel. Then the assumption is the person didn't want it, even if there's a kezayit basar. Amar le Rav Nachman le'ula, Amar Rav Yochanan, afilu kitarta. So Rav Nachman says to Ula, Amalei Rav Nachman le'ula. Rav Nachman says to Ula that Rabbi Yochanan said, afilu kitarta. Now, that's once you say, or that has a kezayit of basar, kezayits are shiur. So that means if you cut it off, right, according to this, it's canceled, right? So he says, Rav Nachman says to Ula, Amar Rabbi Yochanan afilu kitarta. Would Rabbi Yochanan agree even if it was a bigger shiur than a kezayit, like a quarter of a kav? Okay, some people say kitarta means actually not a quarter of a kav, but some people say it means if you would measure it on a kaf moznai, meaning if it was more significant than a kezayit. Amar le'in, Ula says yes. In fact, Rabbi Yochanan would agree. Since platito sakin, you've said, I don't really want to eat this, even if it was a rev a kav, which is a lot more. Ba'afilu kenafya, he continues to question, how far, right? Even the size of an afa, a sifter, like a big piece, Amar le'in, he says, yes, in fact, that's true. Rabbi Yochanan would agree. So this is Ula's take on Rabbi Yochanan. Amar le'. So Rav Nachman says back to him, Elohim, are you serious? Right? It's like a way of swearing. Im amar li Rabbi Yochanan mipume, if I heard it straight from the mouth of Rabbi Yochanan, lo tzaitin ale, there's no way I would listen to that. That's crazy, right? Of course it's crazy. You're cutting off meat. A big chunk of meat gets attached to the skin. You're not going to use that piece of meat. It's canceled to the or. Okay, and what he's basically saying is, well, this just says kesayit. It means even more and even more. And Rav Nachman says, what kind of craziness? Okay, so Ula says that Rabbi Yochanan means even if it's a huge piece. And Rav Nachman says, I don't believe you, no way, no how. Story continues. Kiselik Rav Oshaya, when Rav Oshaya went up to Eretz, went to Babel, right? Kiselik, no, Allah la Eretz Israel. Eshka chele le Rabbi Ami. He sees Rabbi Ami. Amre l'shmate kameh. So he says this whole thing he heard from Ula, from Rabbi Yochanan, and Rav Nachman. He says, right, because Rav Nachman was in Babel. That's why when he goes up to Eretz Israel, he tells this whole discussion. Hachi amre Ula, v'hachi ahadole Rav Nachman. This is what Ula said, this is what Rav Nachman said. Amarle. So now he says, so Rabbi Ami's reaction is like this. How could Rav Nachman treat him so disrespectfully? First of all, you have to remember, he's living in Eretz Yisrael. Rav Nachman's in Bavel, and he says, oh, those Babylonians, they're so disrespectful. How could he possibly, what? He thinks just because he's married to the daughter of the Reish Galuta, that he has the schuyot to say, huh, mizalzel, but you know, even if Rabbi Yochanan said it, I would not agree with him. Zimnin eshkechei diyativ ka'amalei ha-seifa. But then, Rav Hoshaya saw that sometimes he saw that, or one time it happened, that he saw that Rabbi Ami was teaching the same halacha of Ula, not on the resha of our Mishnah, like we said, that a piece of ore that has a kazayat of basar. No, he was talking about it on the seifa, where hayu alav shnei chatzei zeitim mitam'im b'masa v'lo b'maga divrei Rabbi Yishmael. Rabbi Akiva omer lo b'maga v'lo b'masa. Okay, so now we're going to see that Rabbi Yochanan, was a debate about where Rabbi Yochanan made that statement. Did he make it on the Reisha? No, maybe it was all on the Seifa. So how so? I'm Rabbi Yochanan, lo shanu ela platito chaya, ava platito sakin batel. Okay, so now what happened? Rabbi Yochanan said, remember, Ula said that Rabbi Yochanan said, lo shanu ela platito chaya, platito sakin batel. And then they said, well, platito sakin batel on the kazayit? Well, if it's the kazayit, then even more. Now they say, no, no, they were talking about the two chatzei zeitim. If the two chatzei zeitim were cut by a knife, even Rabbi Yishmael would agree that it's batel. Okay, even though altogether there's a kezayit, it still wouldn't be b'tamei masa. If an animal cut it, then it would be b'tamei masa. But if a person cut it, then these two chatzei zeitim would be batel. So then, Amar Le Mar, so Amar Le Mara Seifa Matnela. He says, so wait, Rav Hoshaya comes to Rabbi Ami and says, what, you learned this on the Seifa, not on the Reisha? Amar Le'im, he says, yes, Rabbi Yochanan made a statement on the Seifa, not the Reisha. So then he says to him, Ve'ela Ula Areisha Amarani Aleichu? He says, but wait, but Ula said it on the Reisha? Amar Le'im, he said, yes. So Amar Le. So now, wait, I have to just get straight for a second. Who's talking? I remember getting confused when I was preparing. 1 second. So according to this, right. So this is how it reads. Okay, let me go back for a second. So Rav Hoshaya said, you learned this on the Seifa? And he said, yes. And then Rabbi Ami says, wait, Ve'ela Ula Areisha Amrani Aleichu? Did Ula say that he said it on the Reisha? So comes Rav Hoshaya, who heard it from Ula, and said, Amar Le'in, yes. So comes Rabbi Ami, and now he's the one who swears, and he says, Hay Elohim. If Yoshua bin Nun had come and told me this, I would not have believed him. Now, why does he say, all the refreshing question, why does he say Yoshua bin Nun and not
Moshe?
Moshe, right? So, some people say it would be mamash mizalzel to say that about Moshe, and anyone who does, who's mizalzel but Moshe Rabbeinu, gets malkot, and that's why he didn't say it about Moshe, but he could say it about Yeshua bin Nun and not be, right, which is a weird interpretation. Some
maybe
say,
Moshe had said
no,
he would have
this was just a way of making a point, and he obviously wasn't mizalzel but Moshe Rabbeinu, but some people say that what's going on here, he's trying to say, if I had heard it been Nevuah, right, this is always the classic, that Nevuah, you can't learn Torah from Nevuah, okay? However, which Nevuah can't you learn it from? Well, Yoshua. But you can learn Torah from Moshe. Right? He was a Navi and all of the Torah came from him. So he's the only Navi that you can actually learn Torah from. So if we're going to go to the next greatest Navi, it'll be Yoshua ben Nun. And that's why they took Yoshua and not Moshe. That's another possible interpretation. Or maybe it's the name that came to mind. You know, it's unclear exactly why he chooses Yoshua ben Nun, but he basically says, no way, no how could Ula have made this, could, you know, is Ula right about what he said about Rabbi Yochanan? Rabbi Yochanan clearly said it on the Seifa. But now, interestingly enough, ki ata Ravin v'chol nichute, when Ravin and all these other rabbis who were the ones who were Yordim from Eretz Yisrael to Babel, lo and behold, what did they say? Ula was also one of those. Amarua Areisha. They all said that Rabbi Yochanan said it on the Reisha. So it seems like Rabbi Ami is a da'at yachid here. And now we're back to our first question, Ve'el Akashya, but then we're still stuck with that question. If it's got a kazayit and it's considered, right, it's not going to, it's, right, platito sakin, it will be batel, then you could get to even bigger shiur even. How could we explain that? So what did they say? Kedamara Papa b'merudad. Just like Rav Papa says further on, which we're going to see later today, b'merudat hachanami b'merudat. It's a case that it's a piece of meat that's so thin and long, it's like two pieces, very small pieces, are attached by like a long strip. So yes, all together they have a kazayit or even a tartar or even some bigger shigur, but they're so thin that they're basically considered not of anything that anyone, right, insignificant. Okay. Hayu alav. Okay, now we're back to hayu alav shnei chatzei zeitim. Right? So you have on this piece of skin, the shnei chatzei zeitim, the machloka Rabbi Akiva and Rabbi Yishma. Lo shanu ela me'achahav. Aval milifanav, this is only if you're touching the backside of the skin, where you're touching the skin, right? The skin is not a shomer because the meat is on the other side. But if you directly, milifanav, you directly touch the meat, those two chasei zitim, now there's going to be a machloket about that. Barpada says, if you touch the meat itself, yesh nogeah v'chozer v'nogeah. If you touched, now this sounds like you could touch a half a zayit and touch another half a zayit, and you'll be mitamit. Now that can't possibly be. You're not going to be mitzarif. But if you touch them both at the same time, let's say with two different hands, or you touch with one part of your hand, another part of your hand, you touch the other one, since you're touching all at once a kazayit, even though they're two separate pieces, that's mitame. Rabbi Yochanan says, Amar ein nogev, chozer v'nogev. No, that wouldn't be. So there's a machloket now about the machloket, Rabbi Yishmael, Rabbi Akiva. Are they talking only if you touch the skin, or are they even talking about if you touch the meat? Is the meat batel, right? And that's, would it, would you, you know, would that work? Va'asta Rabbi Yochanan letame. Rabbi Yochanan goes l'shitato. Da'am Rabbi Yochanan, Rabbi Yishmael, Rabbi Dosa, ben hirkunu samru davar achad. He says that both what Rabbi Yishmael says and what Rabbi Dosa ben hirkunu says are the same. Rabbi Yishmael hadamaram, which means what? Okay, let's go back now. Rabbi Yishmael says mitame b'masa, but not b'maga. But what would he then say? That milafanav, it would even be mitame b'maga. Okay? So now, that matches what Rabbi Dosa ben Hirkuna says. Why? Ditnan, kol ha-mitame'im ba'ol shenichlaku. If you have something that's big enough to be mitame in an oel, v'chnisan l'toch habayit. Okay, wait. Shenichlaku, but then they broke in half, or in three, or in four, right? They broke into different parts. And then hichnisan letoch habayit, and then you put them inside the house. Rabbi Dosa ben Hirkunus mitaher, v'chachamim mitamim. Okay, Rabbi Dosa ben Hirkunus says we don't view those right. We're mitaher because those things are viewed as. One second, right. Rabbi Yochanan said, sorry, let me just be clear. I said it wrong. Rabbi Yochanan said that Rabbi Shmuel, Rabbi Dosa said davar achad, which is that it's even if you touch the meat itself, we don't view those as going together. Likewise, Rabbi Dosa ben Hirkunus says the same thing. If you have a piece that would be mitame in an oel by itself, but you split it up into a bunch of pieces, if they're all in the house, right? Rabbi Dosa says they're mitaher. We don't view these as joining together. Whereas chachamim mitamim, they view them as all joining together. So what do you see here? That right, Rabbi chachamim sound more like Rav Barpada, who says we can join these things together. But Rabbi Dosa ben Hirkunus is going like Rabbi Akiva. So if Rabbi Yochanan. So if Rabbi Yochanan said that Rabbi Shmuel and Rabbi Dosa ben Hirkunus said the same thing, it must be that he viewed it that ein chozer v'nogea. And likewise, lav amar Rabbi Dosa ben Hirkunus hatam ein ma'ahil v'chozer u'ma'ahil. Hachanami ein nogea v'chozer v'nogea. It's the same concept, that we can't view these parts as one whole. Right? If we want to view it as one tumah, right? We want to, under one roof, let's say, or under one piece of skin. Okay. When we do Rabbi Dosa ben Hirkunus, so now we're going to have a problem. If he says Rabbi Dosa ben Hirkunus matches Rabbi Yishmael, now we're going to have a problem, because then we're going to have to say the Chachamim match Rabbi Akiva. What was the problem? Rabbi Akiva said, not Masa, not Maga, not anything. So how could, so which wouldn't match the other opinion, which said nogeah v'chozer v'nogeah. So, midi Rabbi Dosa ben Hirkunus k'Rabbi Yishmael, Rabbanan k'Rabbi Akiva. Baha Rabbi Akiva tihurim k'avatayr. He said the whole thing is tahur. So, what do you have to say? Ad kan lo matar Rabbi Akiva ela ba'or. Rabbi Yochanan's halacha was said only uniquely by or. Aval ba'alma mitami. But he would hold the chozer v'nogeah, nogea v'chozer v'nogea by other things. And his was a unique din by or, and how do we know this? Ketikatani seifa, umoda Rabbi Akiva, v'shnei chatzei zetim, shetchavam b'kisam, v'sitan shu tameh. Umipnei ma Rabbi Akiva matar ba'or, mipnei sha'or mevatzlani. Specifically says, the skin cancels the meat, but that's only in this case. In other cases, let's say you break up this thing into four pieces and you put them under one roof, they will be metame because they can be viewed as one thing. It's only that the ore cancels the meat here, and that's why. Okay, mativ. Mativ Rav Ukvar Bachama bin Nivlatam below. Okay, now we're gonna have a question on. I think it's on Bar Pada. Let's see. Bin Nivlatam and Ogev Nivlatam Yitma. Right below Beor Sheyesh Alav Shnei Chatzei Ezetim. So this comes to exclude the or with these two Avzetim. Yachol Af Bemasa. You would have thought maybe it's also not going to be Metame Bemasa. Talmud Lamar VeHanose Yitma Devar Rabbi Yishmael. Here we have from the Drasha where he gets it from because it says. Right, the v'ha'ochel minivlata yechabes gadav v'tamei ad erev v'hanoseh nivlata yechabes gadav v'tamei ad erev v'hanoseh comes to teach you even if you noseh to chatzei zeitim. Rabbi Akiva omer hanogea v'hanoseh. Okay, both the nogea and the noseh are the same. In other words, what happened? Rabbi Shmuel distinguished between maga and masa. Rabbi Akiva says you can't distinguish between maga and masa. Et shebalech la maga, balech la masa. Lo balech la maga, lo balech la masa. Right? Only if it can potentially be maga, then it would also be masa. This, since if you touch the half a zayit, right? You touch the orb of the half a zayit, it's not going to be matame. So, of course, right? If you touch the meat, it's not going to be matame masa either. Vim ita, but if you say that Barpada is right, that what? What did Barpada say? That there could be a case where there would be maga, because if it was milifanav, if you touched it, it would be tamei. Then hare ba lichlal maga milifanav. There is, it is in the realm of maga. And then Rabbi Akiva's argument falls. Rabbi Akiva says, since this can never be tamei by maga, therefore it's also not tamei by masa. So they say, no. I'm a rabbi hachi kamar. Et sheba lichlal maga bechol tzad. It would have to be ba lichlal maga even me'achorav, in order to say it's also matame b'masa, and therefore balechlam masa. But lo balechlam gaba koltzad, meaning even if maybe milipanav it could come to maga, since me'achorav it can't come to maga, right? Lo balechlam masa. Therefore, it's never matame masa. Okay. Ba'amine Rav Avya Saba me Rabba Bar Rav Huna. Kulit stuma l'Rabbi Yishmael ma'u shetitma. Okay, so now he says, this is the next Mishnah about a kulit stuma, which is a, if you have a bone of the kulit where the moach is inside, remember we talked about the kulit, that's the bone of the thigh where there's the moach inside, it's not metame b'maga, not metame b'masa. So the Rabbi Yishmael, ma'u sheyitma, sheyitma, maybe it would be, because ile the Rabbi Yishmael, etche balech lamaga, balech lamasa, lo balech lamaga, lo balech lamasa, v'hachayinu tam ha-mishum de balech lamaga milefanav, this could be, this, 1 second, Odilma Leitle. Okay, so he asks him, 1 second, I have to get the question totally straight. He says, right, this is the kulit is not metame b'maga. The question is, what's inside, right? Is it midin shomer? What's the issue? It's a bone. A bone is not metame on its own. But if it has moach inside, then it's a shomer for the meat inside. So do we say that since Rabbi Yishmael, if Rabbi Yishmael says, etche balechla maga, balechla masa, one, right, even, and lo balechla maga, lo balechla masa, would he say, since this, you it can't be tame by touching, would it also be tame b'masa? And here, since it's balechla maga, because you could... It could be milifanav if you actually touched, right? In the case of the meat, if you touched the meat that was on the skin, that's why it's metame b'masa. And why did Rabbi Yishmael distinguish between maga and masa? Is it because what Barpada said that since milifanav, if you touched it, b'maga, therefore we're going to make it metame b'masa? Or maybe he thought that it wasn't taloi at all b'maga. Okay, in which case. Right, that the Shnei Chatzei Ezetim were Metame B'masa for a different reason. Not because they could potentially be Metame Milifanav. So, what does he answer him? Rabbi Rav Huna says, Amarle Orva Parach. Oh, I see a bird over there flying. What's that, right? Oh, look at that bird. You're just trying to distract someone. He has no idea the answer, and he just kind of says, go look at that bird. So Amarle Rava Berei, his son, Rava comes to and says to Rav Avia, V'lav hainu Rav Avia Saba mi Pupadita. I'm sorry, Rabba Bar Rav Huna said this. So Rabba, his son, says, "V'lav haynu Rav Avya Saba Mipumedita de Mishlach Lamar Begave de Gavra Rabbahu." Isn't that like a really big Talmid Chacham? You yourself even said he was a great man. How could you possibly be so rude to him and say, "Oh, look, there's a bird"? So Amar Lei, Ani Hayom Samchuni Baal Shishot Ubamina Milta Debay Tama. Today I ate too much, I drank too much wine. I'm a little not being Yanim, and I didn't, I wasn't clear headed enough to answer his questions. So I just kind of said, "Oh, go look at that bird. I don't really have an answer for you." Okay. And interestingly enough, they don't actually bring an answer to this question. Okay, which is really the question is, when Rabbi Yishmael says, "Is Metame Bamasa and Afamaga?" Is it because of what Barpada said that it's potentially could be Metame Maga, and therefore in this case is Metame Masa, even if you're not touching the meat actually, right? Or is it not connected to Maga at all, right? Does he not think that Milifan is?